Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. One of the most powerful men of God in modern church history was Dwight L. Moody. I'm sure you've heard the name. But did you know that he failed a church membership class twice in a row?
How can you fail a church membership
class? One time after preaching, the deacon board called him to the side and corrected him, saying, "Brother Moody, you massacre the Queen's English." He was a very uneducated man. Moody, about whom history records that without mass media, he won over 1 million souls to the Lord.
Praise God.
So they were criticizing what they considered to be his ignorant use of the English language. But listen to what Dwight L. Moody said. He said, "I'm doing the best I can with all I have right now. What are you doing with what you have?"
Wow.
Talking about something at a cut to the quick, that's it. The real question for each of us today, what are we doing with what we have? It's when we take what we have, we give what we have to God right now, that He is able to go over into tomorrow, and make provisions available for our next step. Let me say that again. When we take what we have and we give what we have to God right now, then He's able to go over into tomorrow and make provisions available for our next step.
That's powerful.
That's the bottom line, baby.
God.
Yep. In Matthew 25:14, the parable of the talents, the central question is, what are you doing with what you have? You could say it this way. Use it.
Or lose it.
Or lose it. That's right, baby. Many have taken talent to signify one's natural gifts and acquired skills. We've taught this before. But it bears repeating that the scripture is actually referring to money. However, as we study these verses, we see that the principles are the same, whether we're talking about money or natural gifts or abilities.
Matthew 25:14-16 says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. God is the author of increase. All right, let's continue with verses 17 through 19. This is what they say. "And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had 1 received 1 and went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them."
You notice it said, hid his Lord's money.
That's it.
It's talking about money.
That's right.
Now, the word reckoneth is an accounting term that means to balance the account. But let's continue with verses 20 and 21.
Verses 20 and 21 continue by saying, "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord."
Honey, we meet people all the time who hide their talents. They bury a part of themselves. They just don't understand how great it can be, how great they can be in the kingdom of God. To take any physical talent, spiritual gift, or monetary resource and do nothing is truly an insult to God.
In verse 21, God is also commending those who experience increase and multiplication with what's been given to them. God considers it a sign of spiritual health when we manifest increase in our lives, and I'm sure no matter what area.
That's right.
Matthew goes on to say in verses 22 through 26, "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast this, that this is. His Lord answered and said, Thou wicked and slothful servant.
To take any physical talent, spiritual gift, or monetary resource and do nothing is truly a shame. No wonder Jesus used the word slothful. If you look it up, there are 7 characteristics of a slothful servant.
Wow.
Or seven things you never really want to be. Number 1, ungrateful. You can read that in verse 18. Number 2, erroneous reasoning. You can read that in verses 18 and 24. Number 3, being unjust, verse 18. Number 4, fault finding, accusing, verse 24. Number 5, self-justifying, verse 24. Number 6, fearful, verse 25. And number 7, wicked. You read about that in verse 26. I think it's important to point out a parallel of this story to our everyday life. In reading, did you hear or have you noticed that the one who did the least did the most talking? Another point to consider, the words that any believer desires to hear, really wants to hear, is enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Here's the bottom line. The Lord gave these 3 servants the opportunity to help build a better life for themselves, but one of them chose not to.
What happened to him, we can find out when we look at verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay.
Now that's one place I never want to be. The reason so many Christians never successfully complete the will of God is because they simply don't have an understanding of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is governed primarily by the law of sowing and reaping. But we read here in Matthew 25 that the kingdom of God is also governed by a second principle that absolutely governs success in the kingdom of God. And that's the principle of stewardship. Stewardship's more than just money. It's everything. It's the total management of all the resources of God over which you and I have been placed to supervise. As an effective steward, we have all we need right now to operate kingdom principles. What are we doing with what we've got? Because everything we have, we need to obey God today. With everything we have, honey, we need to obey God today.
Amen.
To prove ourselves good stewards. And see, it's important to understand that God gives. In reality, God gives in seed form. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower. A lot of what comes into our lives isn't harvest. It's a seed.
Upon which we can get a harvest.
That's right. That's right. Unfortunately, too many times, God brings money into our hands and we think it's to harvest. If you need $100,000 and someone gives you $1,000, what you just got was your seed, not your harvest.
Think on that. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says, But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day.
The answer is in your hand. The answer is in your wallet. You have everything you need to do what God has told you to do today. Now, getting back to Matthew 25, the scripture we opened with, the scripture talked about the three stewards, the three managers. Do you know who has to deal with the greatest temptation not to be an effective steward more than anybody else? It's not the person with much. It's the person with little. It's the guy who had just one talent. It's the person who has just a dollar or $100. It's the person who has what they think to be just a little bit. The third steward in Matthew 25 failed to see what he failed to see was that his obedience at his level would guarantee him a graduation at the level of the man with the 10 talents. It's our blindness to graduation day that holds us back. So the question is, what are we doing with what we have? If we stood before God today, would he say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"?
We've been visiting with a great pastor friends of ours, Pastor Kevin and Tammy. And I remember when he was talking to you on the phone one day, and he said,
yeah.
You know what's in my wallet?
Yeah.
Seed.
I remember that.
And that's the point of it.
See, there's a TV commercial for some credit card company. This says, what's in your wallet? Well, you need to get the mindset that what's in your wallet
is seed.
Just like Pastor Kevin said. And that's the real key.
So the point of it is when we get that seed, when we have that money, how do we look at it?
Yeah.
And are we going to use it?
Or lose it? Yeah. You know, back, honey, in I think Matthew 25, I think it's 15 or 16, it says that he gave to each according to their several ability.
That's right.
What we want is for God to view our ability different than it is today.
Well, it's how we prove ourselves faithful.
That's exactly right.
When we plant our, you know, and reproduce the seed that's in our hand, then the Lord has the opportunity to say, "Hey, you did good, thou good and faithful servant, and now I'm going to multiply and give you much more responsibility."
Hallelujah. You know what excites me? I know that people listening to these calls are good and faithful servants.
Yes, they are.
And if you're not, you will be.
They are good. Hallelujah. We know many of them.
Yes, we do. Go to heraldherring.com at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed to have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And make sure you check out this week's 2-minute video. Until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.